Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on what's been a great start to a Wednesday morning. I'll tell you, if I could start days like that more often, I'd have a smile on my face. Brian Trottier is one of the greatest hockey players to play in the NHL. Yes, of course, people on the text line were saying to me, you must be in your glory talking with someone like Brian Trottier, former New York Islander, won 4 Stanley Cups there, goes to Pittsburgh, wins 2 there, picks up a 7th Stanley Cup ring while he's an assistant coach in Colorado. I mean, an incredible career. And boy, having him join us in studio for a chat. He was he's in Saskatchewan for a couple of different events. He was actually speaking last night at the Kinexus Arts Center down in Regina for the Celebrating Indigenous Hockey Legends. Tiger Williams was there, Rich Pilon, a number of different speakers there. Great night there. And this weekend, he's actually signing autographs. So if you want to catch Brian Trottier, if you want to get a copy of his book, if you want to get something autographed, you could do it actually by going to the Saskatchewan Card and Collector Experience Show happening at Prairie Land in Saskatoon. I have their website here, saskcardexp.ca. If you go on there, it shows you the times, everything you need to know. But yeah, Brian Trottier will be there signing autographs for that as well. And by the way, thank you to the great text that we got in. Pete, I didn't get to yours. Pete and Craven said, you got to ask him about Butch Goring's helmet. Who doesn't remember Butch Goring's helmet? A couple of, more memorable, I would say, helmets from back in the day in the NHL. There was actually a couple of that I didn't get to here, but I wanted to mention former stick boy from 1975, Lethbridge Broncos. And just the texter just says, what a great bunch of characters there. Sutter, Delorme, Trottier, of course. Burl with a text from Vanskoy, a huge rodeo fan in her younger days. Brian had a brother, Dale, was a champion bronc rider. I heard Brian liked to get on the back of a horse back in the day as well. Anyway, we didn't get to all of those, but those things are important. I've heard Trottier talk a couple of times at events. In fact, I've seen him pull out a guitar. His dad, Buzz Trottier, you would actually see him around. I think he had recorded an album. He played all kinds of different music instruments. Well, Brian Trottier is a talented musician himself. I heard him sing a Johnny Cash song in Delisle a few years back at the sports dinner that they had there. So, yeah, thank you so much to all of you who texted in to join the conversation. And thanks again to Brian Trottier for joining us. By the way, if you missed the conversation, as always, you can go to the website and find it there. It would be on cjme.com or ckom.com. Okay, we're heading into open lines, and we will have open lines right until 10 o'clock this morning, so we can chat about whatever is on your mind, whatever you would like to chat about. Minimum wage going up in the province today from $15 to $15.35. Some people say not enough. Other people say, I run a business and I don't pay that anymore anyway. I pay more than that because it's tough to get employees. We had heard from the Hospitality Service Saskatchewan earlier on, and a lot of people in the hospitality business don't start at minimum wage. They actually start a little bit higher than that. Again, it's all about attracting workers. We can chat a little bit about that. How about a couple of the conversations that happened yesterday when Donald Trump, U.S. President Trump, was talking with a bunch of military personnel? And, well, first of all, he revived the conversation about the 51st state. You heard that.
Investing tens of billions of dollars in modernizing our nuclear deterrence capabilities like never before. And we've begun construction on what we call the Golden Dome Missile Defense Shield. It'll be the most sophisticated in the world. You watched it do well until they had some problems at the end with a little bit of a lack of ammunition, defensive ammunition, but they've got that taken care of. But I tell you, it's what we're doing is so good, and we deserve it. You know, we help other countries with it. We don't have it ourselves. And Canada called me a couple of weeks ago. They want to be part of it, to which I said, well, why don't you just join our country? You become 51, become the 51st state, and you get it for free. So I don't know if that made a big impact, but it does make a lot of sense. It actually makes, because they're having a hard time up there in Canada now, because as you know, with tariffs, everyone's coming into our country. We have more investment than we've ever had before, $17 trillion coming in. As an example, in 4 years, Biden didn't have $1 trillion. We have $17 trillion more than that in 8 months coming in.
So that was quite a stoic room. I don't know if you've seen any of the video, but they were America's top generals and admirals, and some saying they were stoic because they didn't love the messages. Others saying, no, that's the military. They're not supposed to show pleasure towards partisan politics, and so they're there to get their marching orders. So it was interesting when you hear what U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth was saying. He had some things to say that some people found very controversial.
For too long, we've promoted too many uniformed leaders for the wrong reasons. Based on their race, based on gender quotas, based on historic so-called firsts. We've pretended that combat arms and non-combat arms are the same thing. We've weeded out so-called toxic leaders under the guise of double-blind psychology assessments, promoting risk-averse go-along-to-get-along conformists instead. You name it, the department did it. Foolish and reckless political leaders set the wrong compass heading. And we lost our way. We became the woke department, but not anymore.
He went on to talk about fat generals.
Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look.
The notion of promoting on merit is great. And I'm all for it. To me, you have to get promoted on the merits that you bring to the job. You've got to be the best person for the job. The challenge I have and the frustration I have with what I've seen from Hegseth, from Trump, is there are many times that they'll point at a person and say, you're fired, because they're in a top position and they happen to be African American. Without understanding whether or not they got there based on their merits. You can't just say if you're a diverse hire, you're not the best person for the job. And that's fair enough. Let's focus on merits, but let's not reverse decisions that have been made because you think it was a token job appointment or award. Let's go to the phones and hear your thoughts. We'll take a break and we will come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon. It's a bad look. When you only have
seconds. So it was quite a speech yesterday. If you caught even bits and pieces of it on social media, they gathered America's top generals and admirals. They summoned them from around the world and didn't give an explanation as to what this was about. They brought them to Quantico, Virginia, and there U.S. President Donald Trump and U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth addressed them. As you just heard, we played a couple of sound clips. Hegseth was slamming fat generals, diversity initiatives that he said led to decades of decay in the military. He promised sweeping changes on how discrimination complaints are handled, how accusations of wrongdoing are investigated at the Pentagon. He said all fitness tests would be set to male benchmarks only, emphasized the importance of grooming standards. And if you watch any of the videos, the audience, these high-ranking, well, generals, admirals, they're very quiet. In most cases, they're expressionless. There was a couple of little chuckles and jokes that the president made, but for the most part, they didn't really show a lot of expression. Now, some people say that speaks to their disdain for what they were hearing. Others are saying, are you kidding? That's the military. The military is meant to be apolitical. They're loyal to the U.S. Constitution, independent of any party or political movement. So it creates pressure on the commanders to avoid reacting to overtly political comments. Because you know that there were, Donald Trump spoke to the troops a couple of weeks back, and they were very boisterous in how they were responding to what the U.S. president was saying. By the way, I don't know if you caught this, but earlier this month, Donald Trump signed an executive order to rename the Department of Defense that Hegseth is the secretary of to the Department of War, reverting back to a title that it held until just after World War II. So, what do you make of what Pete Hegseth was saying? I said it just before the break. It doesn't matter the job. Doesn't matter if you're talking military, whatever job. To me, the focus on promoting people on the merits that they bring to the job is the right way to go. You will always choose the right path if you promote on merits. And I think there has been lots of times where it has been diluted or misguided based on appointments of tokenism. Now, this is where I separate from what I heard Pete Hegseth say yesterday, because you can't, though, point at an appointment, whether it's a high-ranking military official or whatever, and say, because the person shows diversity, maybe it's a female, maybe it's indigenous person, maybe it's African-American. At the end of the day, because they show diversity, that they were a DEI hire or appointment. You can't say that. And by the way, Hegseth defended in front of all of the people yesterday his recent firings of flag officers, one including a top U.S. general who was black, the Navy's top admiral who was a woman. He said the officers he relieved were part of a broken culture. Now, I don't know the two people that he relieved of their duties, so I don't know the merits that they brought to the job, but it is a slippery and ugly slope if you start just saying, I'm firing you because you're a woman. And we've had this conversation on the show before. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. 1-877-332-8255. It is open lines. We could talk about whatever you like. I noticed a text that came in earlier, someone complaining about the move to not be able to buy tickets. If the Toronto Blue Jays end up playing the New York Yankees, you won't be able to buy tickets in New York. And Dale sent a text in saying, I think this is crap. Why would they do that? Well, clearly this is a bit of a trend. I hadn't even really heard much about this until you start digging into it. But the Toronto Blue Jays have also restricted tickets to those with Canadian billing addresses, saying the policy, which began during the regular season, is in place to keep tickets in the hands of Blue Jays fans across Canada. So yeah, this is what's happened. By the way, the Red Sox won game one yesterday. If you were following that, Red Sox up 1-0 in that best of three. If the Yankees win, if they can win the next two games today and tomorrow, and then we'll be playing the Blue Jays on the weekend, you won't be able to buy your tickets through Ticketmaster if you're Canadian. They are restricting them to residents from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania. Now, we've seen this happen before. Let's go back to 2023. Florida Panthers, remember that? They limited the sale of the second round playoff tickets to local residents for, I think they did it for a 24-hour time period, which meant local residents had first crack at the tickets. Lots of the Leaf fans that wanted to go down, again, this is the second round of the playoffs in 23, were restricted as a result. So we have seen this before. Do you agree with it? 1-877-332-8255. I don't love it. Not that I would be traveling to New York necessarily to watch a Jays game, but boy, lots would be. What a great way to bring people from out of, not only out of state, but out of country, at a time when we know not a lot of people are traveling to the States, or at least a strongly diminished number from what used to be. And then you're going to limit the ability for people to buy the tickets from Canada. I don't love the move. I don't love the move, but you could argue that it's good for the goose and good for the gander, because if Toronto's doing it as well, it gives Canadians first crack at any of the games in Toronto. Whatever you would like to chat about, the phone lines are open for you. 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in this morning. Appreciate all of your thoughts on the text lines. Lots of people saying, so here we go. Clay, I want to read this text. Ex-military officer Clay. Fat troops and fat cops are a bad look. A professional image is important. Troops aren't supposed to cheer or boo. You just receive your orders and carry them out. I liked Pete's speech. I served 98 to 08. And I also don't like what our military has become. Clay, thank you very much for that. I appreciate the text. Those perspectives are important. In fact, just this morning, we're planning the shows for the rest of the week. I said, let's see if we can get Rick Hillier. I love listening to former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, Rick Hillier. He's been on this program. I've lost count. We've had him on a dozen times probably in the last couple of years, but there's been so much that's happened in the last little while, including this speech or these speeches yesterday to the U.S. military. I would love to get his take on it. So we've reached out, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to get him him there. Here's another text from Ashley in Saskatoon. These generals were less than impressed. They clapped for the first minister that came out, one of their own, and it was painfully cringy. Ashley's words, painfully cringy, how full of disdain for Pete Hegseth and Trump these generals were. Loud music to cover up the lack of applause. Four people clapped after the president was done. One former vet stated that was most likely a one-star general who was trying to suck up to Trump to decide to fire someone of a higher rank. So Ashley is in the camp saying, yeah, I don't think this was good at all. Eric, the military personnel in attendance at Quantico were called to attention, and they were conducting themselves in accordance with that. So a lot of people on the text line saying, look, it's the military, and especially the higher ranking officers like that. When you get admirals and generals in a room, you're not going to get boisterous laughter and applause. I mean, they have a code of conduct that often dictates that they will, number one, not show political persuasion. And they, as we just saw from the text that we had from Clay, their job is to take the orders and then to execute them. But wouldn't it be good to be in the minds and to understand the way they are thinking about it? I was getting a lot of texts, even from friends of mine yesterday, as that was going on, wanting to know, you know, is this a good thing? Is this a step in the right direction? We pendulum swing. How often do we talk about the pendulum swing? Pendulum swing, and I do think pendulums have swung far too far in some cases, and it could be with regard to how policies are being developed. Sometimes policies are being developed based on ideology as opposed to what practically needs to happen out in like a battlefield, for example, with the military, which is why I always value any sort of information we can get or opinion we can get from people that have served. Okay, I want to jump onto the phone line, take a couple calls. Brad in Swift Current, your thoughts on, I was talking about the fact that you won't be able to, as a Canadian citizen, buy tickets to the New York Yankees game if that is indeed who the Toronto Blue Jays play. What do you think about that, Brad?
Evan, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you here. Would you go to New York to watch a game if you could?
Under these circumstances, I don't think I would. And imagine if you were going to go to a New York Yankees game or even perchance an Islanders game if they were in the playoffs. All of a sudden you buy your tickets and they won't let you cross the border because the government is shut down.
Right.
How is that going to make you feel?
Well, I mean, that's a big thing. We talked a bit about that earlier this morning, but what's going on with the government could cause some travel delays anyway. So you're right, Brad, that could make it hard for people wanting to go down.
I'd rather just save my money and watch it on TV.
Fair point, Brad. Appreciate you calling in. 1-877-332-8255. Text or call in on whatever topic you would like to talk about. Open lines is an opportunity for you to talk. In fact, let's go to Saskatoon. We're going to talk bad drivers. Wayne, what do you got for me?
Well, can I give you one little clip before I go
to the drivers?
Sure,
of course.
I do believe, can blame Buck Martinez. He's been cutting down the Yankees for weeks that they're not a good ball team. I actually agree because all I do is have big home run hitters. But anyway, I think you can blame Buck Martinez for this.
You think he embroiled them enough that they decided they're going to shut it down?
Yeah, if you didn't watch the broadcast, he was quite liberal with the fact that they're not a good ball team. Anyway, Buck is a great guy.
So. Oh, yeah, he's fun to listen to, isn't he?
Now, the drivers, Evan, I mean, this is something I've been seeing for years, but it's getting worse all the time. I'm driving down Circle Drive, doing 90 clicks. Someone comes to merge, and they're doing looks like maybe 40 or 50. Well, you're not getting in that way. I don't understand. Are they all scared? It's almost as bad as a four-way stop. They all get there, and it's like a Mexican standoff. Who's going to get shot first? You know, learn how to drive. Go back to your handbook. Learn how to drive. If you can't do it, you're too scared, get off the road.
You know, I'm going to just jump in. Don't go away, Wayne. I want you to stay on with me. But we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and someone said, learn how to drive, kind of exactly what you said. Think about what you were taught when you were doing driver training. I don't remember, and I could be wrong because, yes, it was many years ago, but I don't remember being taught merging. I mean, gosh, you're taught everything in driver training, and I did mine in Belcarris, Saskatchewan. There's not a lot of merging happening, not a lot of zipper merges in Belcarris. But did we take that? Do you remember, Wayne?
You're right. I drove around Rostron four times, and the guy said, you failed because I rolled on the stop sign because I was a farm boy second time I passed. You're right. But logic says if you're merging, Evan, you know the traffic's moving, and you're tooting along at maybe 40 or 50, scared to death. Get out of there. Go away.
Yeah, you're actually causing more consternation when you're doing that than by traveling at the rate of traffic and doing it properly. I appreciate the call. You know, thinking about driver's test, I thought about the driver's test that I took. I was lucky enough to pass on the first time. I'm sure I got some demerit points. But the lady that did my driver's test, I'll never forget, she pulled the car into the school because that's where we did it. We came out during, I think we might have even done it. I don't know if it was during school or it might have been just after school. So I jump in the driver's seat, put my seatbelt on. She's like, okay, Evan, I'll get you to back out of the stall and then we're going to proceed north down the street. So I put it in reverse, keep one hand on the steering wheel, and turn in the seat, throwing my hand on the back of the passenger seat like I'm backing up the truck at the farm because I'd driven for a number of years. My grandpa taught me how to drive on the farm. And I'll never forget my driving instructor going, no, that's not how we back up. You know, you've got to use your mirrors, keep your hands on the wheel. Meanwhile, I was like, you know, pretty casual about it, throw my hand on the back of the seat. And Mrs. Fiesel, I think, was the lady that gave me my driver's test. But anyway, merging is always a good one to talk about because it feels like no matter how much we talk about it and everyone we talk to about it agrees that it's a problem. And yet hundreds of people, it seems, don't know how to do the zipper merge properly. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back open lines till 10 o'clock. And then our friend Brian Zinchuk is here for an hour of energy talk. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
The Golden Dome Missile Defense Shield. And Canada called me. They want to be part of it. So I said, well, why don't you just join our country? You become the 51st state and you get it for free.
Hey, Frank, you do a good job of putting those little sound clips together with our music coming back into our talk segment. So, yeah, yesterday, of course, was the conversation that happened between U.S. President Donald Trump and U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth at Quantico, Virginia, a room full of the country's top generals and admirals there to hear the conversation. Trump, more of a, I would say, looking forward, this is where we want to get with the military. Hegseth, on the other hand, was much more critical of the current state of the military. He talked about what he believes is woke culture and some significant changes that he looks to bring to that. Thanks to the texts that have been coming in, although I feel like we've shifted the texting and the conversation now to driver training. A lot of people are saying, I got a text from Dan on my personal cell phone that said, Evan, don't you remember growing up when we knew driver training was happening after school? We'd all get in our cars and try and make it hard for the poor person who was taking their test. I do remember that, actually. All of a sudden, the normally bare streets in small town Saskatchewan, Belcarris, where I did mine, seemed to get all of a sudden very, very busy. People are crossing at crosswalks they normally wouldn't be. You know, it's just going to test you a little bit. I like that. Bob in Regina. Evan, they didn't have merge lanes when you and I got our driver's license. Yeah, fair enough. Don at Pike Lake. I've taken driver training on a few separate jobs for different vehicles. I've taken defensive driver training. I have taught driver training. I'm also old enough to have been taught to drive off Walt Disney's Goofy on merging, towing speeds, and other needed actions. Lots of great driver training memories there for sure. Okay, we're going to take a break. I've got another guest in studio, another Brian. We start with Brian Trottier. Now we move to Brian Zinchuk, editor and owner of PipelineOnline.ca, Saskatchewan's energy news. And there has been some fairly big news in the province. Some of it good, some of it not so good. We'll check in with our friend Brian and open up lines for your questions as well here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.